الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In 1970, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mulana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, intended to go with one of his very, very good friends, Hazrat Mulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullahi alayhi, for Hajj. That time it was open, when a person wanted to go, he could go. And the common means of travel was ship. So Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, when he was 23 years old, he went for Hajj in the year 1338 Hijri with his Shaykh, Hazrat Mulana Khalil Ahmed Saharanpuri rahmatullah alayh. Now, we should not think that this, because we hear Khandelwi, or we hear Saharanpuri, or we hear India, then sometimes a person thinks that these were just ordinary people. These people's kitabs are in the libraries of the Arabs. When they open their kitabs, they say, "Are you sure you wrote this kitab?" They can't believe that these people, because their nature was to be simple, their nature was humility and humbleness, you wrote this kitab. They wrote great kitabs, commentaries of hadith, Badlul Majhood, the Sharah and the commentary of Abu Dawood Sharif. Commentaries, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi, Mawlana Khalil Ahmad, who we are speaking about Rahmatullahi. They did a lot of work. Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullahi, while we're explaining this, just to understand, there was a hadith compilation that was not found in India on that first trip. So there was a manuscript that was kept by someone, and his ustad, Mawlana Khalil Ahmad, wanted to purchase it. So I can't remember exactly. It was Musannaf Abdul Razak or Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba, one of these two kitabs. So it's a hadith compilation. He wanted it for the madrasa. So the price was set very, very high in pounds. So Mawlana Khalil said, "No, this price is too high." So as a sheikh was 23 years old, he tells his sheikh, Mawlana Khalil, "Borrow the kitab. We'll copy it down." He said, "We've got 10 days left. Hundreds and hundreds of pages. Where are we going to copy this kitab?" He said, "Hazrat, borrow the kitab. We will copy it down." So his sheikh said, "No problem." The man lent it very happily. He said, "These people will never be able to copy it. 10 days. You can't do that. It's impossible." So he very happily he lent it to them. "Just use it and return it. At least you'll benefit something." They started from Fajr till Zuhur. 10 people, they distributed the work and they're copying and they're writing. About 2 days before their departure, they finished the kitab. When they returned it, the man got a shock of his life. "You copied the kitab in 8 days. These people, one small people, as we say in our colloquial language, they weren't playing marbles. They did a lot of good work." So anyway, that year, when Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullahi, 1970, wanted to go for Hajj, the only means of travel was the ship again. Flights perhaps were also being used, but for some reason, the flight was cancelled. There was some epidemic, some sickness, and so they weren't allowed to travel. So they had to go by ship. So Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi said, "I can't go. I had a previous experience. I get very sick on the ship." Nevertheless, Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullahi, a lot of people joined him from his town, so they went. That year, 1970, on the plains of Arafat, Maulana tells his group, all of you pack everything, go to the bus. So people were shocked. This was unusual. It was not the time to pack up. It was not the time to leave. Why is Maulana saying this? So they packed up everything. They went to the bus, sat in the bus. Half an hour later, 30 minutes later, a massive storm broke out. And the tents were flying. People were hurt. People's things were damaged and flew around in the wind. At that moment in time, people understood this is Maulana's karamat, that half an hour before the storm, he already told us to move everything. But Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, who's writing this, he says, what was the cause for the storm and difficulty that came in that holy land on the day of Arafah, the day of Hajj? What was the reason for this? This is the lesson we take. He says, one person's radio, there was no cell phone that time, one person's radio was playing music on the plains of Arafat. Because of that, this entire storm broke out. And Maulana says, is there any wonder? Is there any more thinking that a person has to do to understand that calamities come because of the actions of men? The next page, Maulana says, in the year 1390, that was a long time ago, 50, 60 years ago, 1390 in Ramadan, there was a massive, massive natural disaster that took place in Pakistan. He says, I received letters upon letters upon letters. I can't even bring on my tongue the devastation, the destruction that come to the Muslims in Pakistan. He says, I got two letters. I will just explain what I read in those two letters. Maulana says, it was the 11th or the 12th of Ramadan. Those that are writing to me, they say it was during the night where a huge blast was heard. Massive blast. And they say a hurricane started blowing in Pakistan. What was the speed of this hurricane? 140 kilometers per hour. Can we imagine the force of this wind? The waters of the ocean started to 9 meters high. What is 9 meters? And every child that was in the path of this flood was washed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Every child became shaheed. He says many, many women lost their lives. And he says that they were fathers, family men that were sitting dumbstruck, awestruck, couldn't talk, looking, staring into oblivion out of the shock of what had happened. No house left, no wife sometimes, no child. The man can't think. And Maulana is saying that this calamity that came was on account of the deeds of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and would prove, Maulana says, those areas where people had challenged Allah Ta'ala and spoke against the ulama, spoke against the beard, spoke against Islam, mocked at Islam, nestonabud hoge, those places were totally obliterated. And he says on the flip side of the coin, those places where the zikr of Allah was taking place actively, those masjids where jamaats were found, those homes where people were waking up for Fajr Salah, getting ready for Sehri, reciting the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala protected. Those masjids, not one drop of water, so to say, came in those masjids where the amal of deen were taking place. But unfortunately, other masjids which were neglected, then the floods had taken those masjids. He says those homes where people weren't engaged in salah and ibadat, then the water came 4 meters high in those homes. No home left. And those homes where ta'aleem was taking place, tilawat was taking place, zikr of Allah was taking place, he says the water didn't even reach 1 meter high. Allah Ta'ala saved them, Allah protected them. The conclusion of this incident is that when good actions take place, Allah's mercy comes down, Allah's protection comes. And when evil actions take place, then Allah Ta'ala's lati comes out, Allah Ta'ala's stick comes out. My beloved brothers, in page 36 of the Fazail Amal, there is a title regarding the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when a storm broke out. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that when a storm would break out and wind would start to blow and dense clouds would start to gather, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face turning color. I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face turning color. To put it into our context, the camera didn't come out. I must be the first to report. Let me put it on my status. What is happening? I'm a journalist now all of a sudden. No. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face used to turn color. He used to be worried. He used to hurry to the masjid. Nazar bin Abdullah, he says, in our time, in the time of Anas radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already left the world. A storm, not even a storm, he said it became dark. It became very, very dark in Medina Sharif. I hurried to Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. Did you experience anything like this? All of a sudden, on a bright day, it becomes very dark like the night. He said, Subhanallah, ma'azallah. In that Allah alayhi wa sallam, the wind had to just pick up speed. No damage was caused. No cars were turned over. No floods came. But the wind just picked up speed and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rush to the masjid. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, worried. Why are you so worried? The rain is going to come. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Aisha, I fear that this might be Allah's azab that is coming. Because the Qawm al-Aad were also destroyed. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْتِرُنَا. When they saw dense clouds coming, they got very, very happy. They said, this is now the rain clouds that are coming. Get rain. But Allah Ta'ala says, بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ. They said, no, this is a wind, very, very good wind. Allah says, بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ. You, by way of your actions, have hastened this punishment. This punishment is coming. تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. With the permission of Allah, it made tadmir, it caused total destruction, it finished them up. Allah Ta'ala, through His mercy, brothers, Allah sounds the alarm sometimes. Allah Ta'ala gives us a wake-up call. Allah Ta'ala wants us to understand that when conditions are not normal, then something must be abnormal in my actions. Now last week Sunday, the Sunday that went past, we saw the whole week trees have fallen down, branches have fallen down. Alhamdulillah, from what we understand, nobody died, everybody's houses are safe and sound. But in some places, cars got flooded, cars got damaged. That's the most that we heard. Allah knows best if there's more destruction anywhere else. My beloved brothers, we have to ask ourselves, at that moment in time, did I become worried and at least say Astaghfirullah one time, or I started reporting and asking what is happening? Did I make istighfar? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rushed to the masjid, engaged in salah, was worried. Do we become worried? Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was promised. What was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. As long as you are with them, Allah won't punish the ummah. Your presence in the ummah is a safety and security against Allah's punishment. Despite this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so worried, he went to the masjid. Eclipse would take place, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would... Do we, with all our weaknesses, view it in that way? Or do we feel that we are immune? أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا. Do they feel safe and secure? Sometimes it can come in the morning. Sometimes it can come in the evening. Sometimes وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. They can be playing and enjoying themselves. Allah Pak speaks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An'am, the sixth surah, verse 42, 43, 44. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ. Allah says, we sent Anbiya alayhi salam to the previous nations. They spoke, they advised, they called the people towards righteous actions and to refrain from wrong. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ. And Allah Ta'ala says, that we did something more to make them change. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ We seized them with hardship. We seized them with hardship. And we seized them with difficulties, problems that came. And the whole reason why we put them in this difficulty is لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ So they may become humble. 40 days Masjid al-Aqsa was closed. 40 days. Now it is open. Alhamdulillah. But my beloved brothers, I want to ask you, how much did it pain our hearts? The Fajr that was on Eid day, the Masjid was full to capacity. Even half that crowd we never have in the last 20 days after Ramadan. Not even half, after Eid. Ask ourselves genuinely, where were actions? We have functions, Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullahi says. He says that we want integration. I'm putting in my own words. We want to intermingle when it comes to family functions, when it comes to weddings. 20 days have gone from Ramadan. Many people have gone back to the wrong and the evil that they were doing. My beloved brothers, Allah is watching. He says integration will bring about disintegration. You want to finish yourself up as a family unit? Intermingle. The stories that we are getting are horrific stories. People sweeping under the carpet. But this person is taking that person's wife. And this person is playing with that person's daughter. Young and old are not free from it. 13 year olds are hooked and addicted to pornography. In Ramadan, watching videos in the masjid during Tarawih time. Beloved brothers, these are realities. If we are not going to take it seriously, Allah protect us. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullahi, we spoke about 1970. Let's go a few years back. 1967, he goes to Burma. And he says, time is passing. Time is moving very, very fast. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullahi, again I say, he wasn't just an ordinary alim. The Arabs respected him. They read his books, Qasasun Nabiyyin. His Arabic was absolutely sweet. He could go and talk to the king also. They would send a private jet for him. He won over ₹1 million. The King Faisal Award. He never kept ₹1 for himself. Just to put on a frame and say, see, I won this. No. He never kept ₹1 for himself. These were genuine people. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Abul Hasan was contemplating going in for Hajj with Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri, the same Hajj. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali told him, take a loan and go. He said, I can never take a loan. It's beyond me. I can't take a loan and go for Hajj. I can't owe people money. The man had his dignity, he had his integrity. On one side he's getting ₹1 million, but on the other side, I won't take nothing. I live within my means. Maulana Abul Hasan, he goes to Burma. He saw the conditions. He said, Yaad rakho meri baat. Remember what I am saying. Ek mushkil waqt aane wali hai. Difficult time is coming. I am not telling the future, but I can see some signs. Allah Pak gives certain signs. Masjid al-Aqsa being closed, this is a sign. Jaakumun nadir. Warners came to you. Your beard is going grey, it's a sign. Sickness is a sign. Allah Pak gives micro signs and macro signs. This wind that came on Sunday, it's a sign. You must not take it lightly. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't take that wind lightly in his time, being the Nabi of Allah in Medina Sharif, how can we take it lightly? How can we feel that we are immune? Each person has to look within himself. Bahlul was such a great saint from Misr. Bahlul Misri. When there was drought, he told the people, throw me out of this town, I am the cause of the drought. Our elders in India, one of our senior elders, when there were riots and train loads of martyrs were coming, shaheed, the Muslims were being slaughtered. One of our elders, what he said, yeh sara kuch jo ho raha hai, yeh mere wajah se ho raha hai. He said, whatever is happening is because of me. Each person needs to think to himself, what am I doing wrong? Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali is sitting on a plane. next to a Jew. Who writes this? Who says this? Maulana Abdul Hamid transcribe talk. I got the transcribe book by me. It's a talk of his. He says, by Padi Rahmatullah Ali sitting on a plane next to a Jew. And this war has been carrying on, we know from when. For decades. So nevertheless, the Jew gets into a conversation with Baipadi Rahmatullah Ali, and he says to him that this war that is being fought, you Muslims don't have Allah's help, and we Jews also don't have Allah's help. So the war that is being fought today is on the basis of who has more numbers, who has more wealth and support and artillery. That's what it is. We have more today, so we will defeat you people. And he says, we know very well the sign to look for, to know that Allah's help is with you people. And when we see that sign, we will our own selves put our weapons down. Because we will know that we can't fight you people. But at the moment, the one day before they opened Masjid al-Aqsa, one of the biggest zalims in the Israel regime, he storms into Masjid al-Aqsa. With impunity, nobody can touch me, nobody can do anything. And his words really hurt my heart. When they interviewed him, he said this law of taking the lives of the prisoners, the Palestinians, is the most moral law, is his words. And he says, we took everything from them, now we'll take their lives also. Look at what fearlessness he talks with, that we are the zalims of the time. Nobody can do anything. If you want to kill, you want to plunder, you want to take Masjid al-Aqsa also, nobody will do anything. We got the Muslims that are defending us. At one time, one interceptor with one missile, how many millions are going? How many millions just into air? Fireworks, very expensive, millions of rands just into air. How many has happened? Going into the hundreds of millions, billions of rands. But for the defense of the Muslims, to feed our Muslims, to give them water, who is their brothers? That's on a macro level. We must ask ourselves, on a micro level, what am I doing that is bringing about Allah Ta'ala's displeasure? 20 days have passed from Ramadan. Why have I left the masjid? Why have I abandoned the Quran Sharif? Why have I forgotten dua? Why it doesn't move me? I'm gone back to videos. Some of us gone back to pornography. Have I been shaken up? The storm came on Sunday. Did it shake me up? Did it make me think, am I doing something wrong? See, the teacher first shouts, then he gives a small tap, and nothing changes, then he has to do something now, more serious now. But if the child listened with the shouting and the tap came right, then the teacher won't do much more than that. If we take heed to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so many things happening. Petrol price has gone up. Famine. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the sahaba, khisalun khams, five things. And I ask Allah to protect you, my sahaba, mustn't see that time. You, oh my sahaba, you mustn't see that time when these five things will happen. Among the five things, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَمْ يَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ إِلَّا أُخِذُ بِالسِّنِينَ وَشِدَّةِ الْمَعُونَ وَجَوْرِ السُّلْطَانِ. Five things, but in the middle of it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when they will begin to cheat, actions have a reaction. Positive action, positive effect. Negative action, negative effect. When they will begin to cheat in weight and measure, and don't restrict it to weight and measure, that we are cheating in our workplace. We are cheating on our wives. Whether it is in a small way, whether it is in a big way. We are cheating in the time that we're supposed to be giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not fulfilling Allah's commands and following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then famine will come. Hard times will come. Wajawri sultan, and tyrant rulers will come. Tyrant rulers will rule over them. They'll be large in number. But these tyrant rulers will have the upper hand. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home. And I found and I worked out from the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that something really had happened that worried Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something great had happened. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu. He went into the masjid. I listened from the wall of the room to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. He went onto the minbar. And he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, O people, I am not saying. Allah ta'ala is saying, Muru bil ma'roof, wanhaw anil munkar. O people, now it is the duty of every man to ensure that good takes place, to encourage good and forbid evil. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to him or another sahabi, O my sahabi, what will be your condition on that day when good will be looked upon as evil and evil will be looked upon as bad? When the whole society will become corrupt, when things will become abnormal. A normal nikah, people are frowning upon. When there's a mix-up, everybody is happy. When music is blaring in the wedding, everyone is happy. When there's no music, then people are commenting. When women are walking with their hair open, taking selfies and intermingling, then we're very, very happy about that. But when a woman is applying the law of Islam, she says, I don't want to mix. I don't want to sit in a restaurant with other men next to me, with family men. I can't do this. It is against the law of Islam. Then we have a problem with it. What will be your condition on that day, O my Sahabi? The Sahaba couldn't understand. أَوَكَائِنٌ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ. Will that ever happen? Will that ever happen? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, and worse than that also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing on the minbar. He said, people, please, I beg you. Allah is saying, command good and forbid evil in your families, with your children. Ulama say, if your child scratched your car, you wouldn't write to Mufti sahab, Mufti sahab, my child scratched my car, now what must I do? But when the child is not following the commands of Allah Ta'ala, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave writing, we're not even thinking about it. We're not even worrying. That person that got some understanding, he'll write. Our ulama say that just like we apply our minds for dunya, the same way we're supposed to apply our minds for deen. How can I make it work in my home? How can deen come in my home? Am I bringing destruction and fire in my home by giving them gadgets and free access to the internet and allowing them to intermingle and to go out and we thinking that nothing will happen? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. And at any time, Allah ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then when they didn't listen, we opened the dunya for them. Take the dunya, take how much you want. And then when they were in the midst of their merrymaking and their fun, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَى. Allah says, we seized them all of a sudden, they got no chance to change. Allah Pak protect me, protect you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the minbar, we'll conclude. He's saying, if you don't do this, if you don't command your family, those that you have an influence with, your wife is under you. She doesn't rule you. You're supposed to command her to do the right. Your children don't rule you. You are the father of the house, you're the shepherd, you'll be questioned. If you don't do this minimum, where your influence reaches, that you got Muslim employees and you don't tell them to read salah, all this is happening under your watch. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَبْلَ أَن تَدْعُوا فَلَا أُجِيبَ لَكُمْ. You will make dua to me. Allah is saying, you will make dua to me, I won't listen to your dua. وَتَسْأَلُونِي فَلَا أُتِيَكُمْ. You'll ask me for your needs, I won't give it to you. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he adds and he extends. And he says that with all this, and the third thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you'll ask for help, Allah won't help you. Hazrat Abu Darda said, and then Allah will put such tyrant rulers over you who won't respect your elders and have mercy on your youngsters. Whether he's a 14-year-old boy getting shot, whether his hands are getting broken, whether he's an elderly man languishing in prison, my beloved brothers, don't think that because we are in relative ease and safety, that we are free from all these things. Allah Ta'ala save us, Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Ta'ala help us. But we need to see how we can do more. All these signs are on the wall, as they say, the writing is on the wall. Yesterday I saw a post, one of the ulama is already writing now, when you go to the mountains, what you must do, how you must do, with detail. How you must harvest water, how you must preserve water, how you must live your life on the mountains. The writing is on the wall, brothers. I am not here to come and make you afraid. I am here to make an appeal to you. that with all these minor signs and major signs, for Allah's sake, let us change our lives. The month of Ramadan is barely 3 weeks from us. We just passed. We ought to have changed. Fill the masjid for Fajr Salah. The Jew, he said, the day when the Fajr Salah is like Juma Salah, we will put our weapons down. He told by Paja, we'll put our weapons down. For Allah's sake, fill the masjid for our 5 daily Salah. Make sure the children, the women at home are reading their Salah. And together with that, Salah is one of the pillars of Islam, but deen doesn't end there. The rest of deen, the rest of the pillars, the rest of deen, we shouldn't be cheating. We shouldn't be underpaying our staff. We shouldn't be swearing and abusive at home or in our workplace. We shouldn't be gambling, taking alcohol. There are certain sins at the time of maut will prevent a person from reading the kalima. One of the sins are disobedience to parents and addictions. May Allah give you, give me, give all of us the tawfiq to make amal wa akhiru da'wan.